Welcome to the Blue Gold Sports Podcast. I'm Ryan Roddy, joined by Tanner Mounts and Corey Moore. Yesterday, West Virginia won 32 to 28, needed a victory, backs against the wall, as it was said all week. Just your initial thoughts from the game, gentlemen, but let's start with the bad before we go on to the good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that you can take away from both sides. And I think the first thing that comes to mind is the rushing defense for West Virginia was not good. And a lot of it does have to do with Kansas. And I know people hate to hear when Neil Brown says that. Credit to the other team. He says it every week. He loves to talk about him. But that truly is one of the most talented backfields in the Big 12 conference, right up there with UCF and West Virginia. They have a great offensive line. It's one of the heaviest offensive lines, one of the largest offensive lines in the conference as well. They averaged out well over 300 pounds per offensive lineman. So they were able to move people. Not having Reed Carico in there also plays a big factor for West Virginia. He's a key piece to the run defense there. The transfer from Ohio State, he's been super talented all year. Trotter goes down, maybe not 100% for the rest of the game, does come back, but Aubrey Burks as well. He goes down early. He's a great safety that loves to come down in the box and make tackles. I think like third or fourth on the team, he's high up there in tackles. So there's a lot of factors that go into the run game. But at the end of the day, Kansas was able to rush for almost 250 yards. And you're not going to win many football games with that. And West Virginia was able to get the stops that they needed down late because you could focus on the run and things like that. But a lot of it also, again, for the fourth straight week, comes down to they let the quarterback scramble. They let Daniels get out of the pocket. They let him make plays with his legs. They were falling for wide receiver sweeps. They had that 32-yard touchdown to Luke Grimm. That was honestly, it was just a really good football play and to watch. But like those kind of plays getting outside of, contain, that's the worrisome fear for West Virginia fans, or it should be at least. I don't see many other teams besides potentially UCF or an Ollie Gordon being able to rush up the middle, kind of have those pull plays against West Virginia, like Kansas was able to do. But it's those sweep plays, it's the quarterback getting out, it's the contain by West Virginia that has me worried. And Kansas, like I said, almost 250 yards on the ground. Luckily, they were able to pull out a win for West Virginia fans, but I mean, it was tough because when you let a team rush like that and you got to get stops late in the game, knowing that they're going to run the football, it was hard to have any confidence in that late.
I was definitely a little worried about the run defense. But what I will say is, you were talking about the scramble from Jaden Daniels. He wasn't really able to make as much of an impact as we've seen other quarterbacks do against WVU so far this year. He only had, I think it was 11 yards. And there was only one play that I can think of where we tried to put pressure on him and he was able to get out of the pocket and run away from that situation. So I think it was a little bit better. As far as that goes for WVU. Overall, though, the run game defense was not great. What I'm more concerned about to go with that is that offensively, our run game wasn't great. It kind of seemed like we were a very one-dimensional offense in a way that we haven't been so far this season. This season, we have been more of a run game, one-dimensional offense. In this game, it was Hudson Clement take us to the promised land, and I'm glad that he had his game. I'm glad that Garrett Green was able to also find him several times and able to make things work. But as far as not having a lot in the run game, CJ Donaldson, Jaheim White, each six carries, that's not really what I love to see if I'm West Virginia. I think that they need to be a little bit more versatile. And I've been talking about this week after week, saying that they need to split their options evenly and try to figure out what they need to prioritize, what they don't. And it's still a game of mixing and matching as far as that goes. But I didn't really love the balance of it yesterday, but that's just me. They got the job done offensively overall. So maybe that's what you stick with. But yeah, that's also not entirely sustainable. Hudson Clement has not had a game like that so far this season. I mean, obviously, he had his 30, 40-yard touchdown taken away from him against Pittsburgh. He would have had more production if in that game. Overall, if that wasn't taken away, but we haven't had seen him go for 150 yards like he did yesterday. And the fact that West Virginia was really relying on that was a little bit worrisome. So I think offensively need to be a little bit more versatile, but overall they were able to capitalize on what was working and what wasn't. They weren't going to that overall. And I did like a little bit in the run game defense, a little bit in the defense overall, but as you said, Tanner, a little bit concerning that you're letting up like 250 rushing yards from Kansas in that situation.
Yeah, I know. I think another factor in that, talking about the rushing offense for West Virginia, is that teams are just loading the box up against Garrett Green and daring him to throw the football, because he hasn't been great throwing the football through the first 4 weeks. So until that he can show, and this was a little bit of a flash, it wasn't great at times. He had two interceptions. He forced it. He had to scramble a lot. He missed some guys wide open again. But like, that is what teams are going to do. They know West Virginia can run the football. They know when West Virginia runs the football successfully, they're a very hard offense to stop. So until teams can see that Garrett Green can throw the football down the field and hit open wide receivers, which it was better yesterday. He did find some guys deeper down the field. But until they show that they can consistently do that, teams are going to load the box up against the Mountaineers. They're going to try to stop the run, because that's what it is. And I think Neil Brown saw that. Would you like more than six carries each for Jaheim White and C.J. Donaldson? Yeah, probably. You don't want your quarterback rushing 17 times. I know not all of those were designed runs, but that's what was working. And I think Neil Brown knew, okay, that's the way that, you know, this is, we're going to have to call the game against this defense. And Garrett Green is going to have to make the plays to win this game, because Kansas is taking away the run. He struggled to do that early, but when it mattered most in those final two drives, he came through, he made the throws downfield. And that's the Garrett Green that West Virginia is going to need the rest of the season if they want any chance to compete in the Big 12.
Yeah, and as far as Garrett goes, I think he's still overall, like on paper, he was obviously better in the passing game, but than he was in the run game. But in terms of actually watching the game, still felt like he was a better better threat in the run game. He, whenever he did get breakaways, he was able to make a little bit more of an impact on it than we've seen in other games this year. I think that's okay. The fact that he's still a running primarily a running quarterback, I think that's completely fine. But the fact that he was so reliant on one receiver, so reliant on a couple of things going right, because again, like you said, there were times with those two interceptions. The one was okay whenever he got kind of banged up and there wasn't really much he could do on that long pass. But the one that got intercepted, a little bit of a medium throw, that was just not a good target on his part. And I think that's a little bit worrisome, the fact that he's relying on receivers but really not making as much of an impact himself. I think Garrett Green still has a lot of room to grow this season. I liked the production overall in this game. I'm not saying that he didn't play well. He did play well. I liked how he looked in the run game. And obviously in the passing game, he was able to make things work offensively. But there's still a lot of room to grow as a team. And then, as I said, with the versatility of the offense, try to get more people involved, try to get both the run game and the passing game involved there as well.
Yeah, just going off what you're saying there a little bit, Garrett Green early in the game, you know, he throws those two interceptions. His interception total for the season now is the same it was compared to all of last year. And one of those throws, he just got hit. Errant throw, just throws an interception. But honestly, on the ground, yeah, he had a great game, 87 yards and a touchdown. It's just, how can they effectively mix that with Donaldson and Jaheim White? Like you said, Tanner, Kansas loaded that box up, and they're going to try to have to game plan around that, because other teams are going to see how effective Kansas's run defense was against West Virginia, and they're going to try to game plan to do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think they got to get back to what they were so good at last year, and Garrett Green was so good at last year, and that's those deep play action shots. They've tried to take them this year, and when they've tried to take them, they're there. I mean, even the first play of the game against Penn State was a heavy play-action shot where Traylon Ray was open. I mean, not the best of balls. It was a good one, catchable. DB made a great play on it. But, I mean, that's what West Virginia's got to get back to doing. And that's the Hudson Clement last week against Pittsburgh. That touchdown came off a hard play-action. They were going to that again. They caught Traylon Ray, I think, on like a 40-yard catch at one point because of a hard play-action. When Garrett Green is making those throws, they have guys wide open on the play action. The offensive line is good enough to hold up. The box is loaded up to stop the run. But you also have to be able to run effectively to sell those play actions. Yes, the defense is selling out to the run, but if you're only getting about 2-3 yards per carry, which I know is a little bit more than that yesterday, they're not going to be there. But it all comes down to Garrett Green. The rushing attack is going to be fine. The offensive line is one of the best in the Big 12. You have two premier running backs in C.J. Donaldson, Jaheim White, who have proven now that they are explosive. They're going to be able to get the job done. That is going to be fine. It's Garrett Green. If they want to be able to run the football more effectively, they have to open it up through the air. And until that he can show teams that he can throw the ball down the field, he was better with his deep ball accuracy yesterday than the first 3 weeks of this season. But that's how it's going to take. You can use those play action fakes then. He's got guys wide open. He just has to show teams that he can make those throws. And until he does that, teams are not going to change how they're playing West Virginia, because this is the formula. And I know you can look and say, well, you know, they've scored 30-plus points in the past 2 weeks. Yeah, they have. But last week, they were really able to run the football. This week, it took, 19 points or 15 points in the final couple minutes to come back and get that total, because the offense had stalled out for a majority of the late second quarter and early the third quarter as well, all of the third quarter, really. So that's the key. Everything revolves around Garrett Green in this offense. The rushing attack will be better if Garrett Green throws the football. And if Garrett Green can take those shots downfield like we saw last year, the entire playbook opens up. Look at the last 4 weeks of the season last year for the Mountaineers and how Garrett Green was throwing the ball down the field off of play action shots. The wide receivers were getting open down the field, and it opens everything else up, because then you got to take guys out of the box to respect Garrett Green's arm. But he has not done that yet. He looked a little bit better, but like Corey said, he has a lot of room to improve still.
Yeah, I 100% agree. As long as he's not throwing those long balls and not showing that he can really be a consistent threat there, teams are always going to pressure him and try to make him throw those balls. And a lot of the reason why he was able to get some successful scrambles, some successful plays on the ground from his legs yesterday was because they were putting so much pressure on him specifically. So as far as getting C.J. Donaldson and Jaheim White worked into that, the second that they stop trying to put so much pressure on Garrett Green specifically, because he can prove that he's able to make things work all across the offense, that's whenever you can get everybody else involved. So exactly what Tanner was saying, it opens the field up so much better if Garrett Green can prove to be a versatile quarterback, throw to multiple options, throw in multiple distances, and also become a run threat himself. Because right now, the only reason why Kansas was the loser of that game was because they put all of that pressure on Garrett Green, and he ultimately did shine. I mean, again, a lot of room for improvement, but he ultimately did what the defense was pressuring him to do. They said, hey, can you throw the long ball? Can you find a receiver here? And he said, yeah, I can find Hudson Clement a few times here. Can you run if we put pressure on you? And yes, he was able to do that. So the fact that he was able to prove that yesterday got the win in for West Virginia. And if they keep winning games like that, then they're going to play their defenses differently whenever they're playing the Mountaineers. And that's going to open things up for Donaldson, for White, and for all of the receivers.
Now, speaking a little bit more on what went well for West Virginia, I think when they ran hurry up, went up tempo, I think that's when they were the most effective offensively. You know, you look at that first quarter drive, they had 3 plays, 78 yards, and a touchdown. Back-to-back 30-plus yard receptions by Hudson Clement. Jaheim White pushes it in. What do you guys think about West Virginia's up tempo?
Yeah, I think it's got to be used sparingly and at the right times. Going fast the entire time can honestly hurt yourself as well, because if it doesn't go well and you get a three and out while you were hurrying up, your defense had absolutely no time to recover. So it when it's effective, it's great, and you got to know when to pull it out at the right times. You got to know when the defense it is kind of struggling on the ropes. It's kind of a feel game. I mean, I would like to see them do it more, but there is a risk factor of doing it every single drive, and we've seen West Virginia have tons of three and outs this season because of how much they like to run the football. And if you don't get an effective run on first down and you don't get an effective run on second down, you're then put in a third and long in an obvious passing situation. So yeah, they are prone to a lot of three and outs. So that's the issue. That's the scary part for a coaching staff that wants to go no huddle, is if your defense just let up an 11 play touchdown drive, which we've seen them do lots of times this season, they're going to be gassed. They're going to come to the sideline. They're expecting somewhat of a break and somewhat of some time to kind of watch the film, regroup, come up with something for the next drive to get their footing back underneath them. And if the offense goes one play, no huddle, one play, no huddle, one play, and now it's a three and out, all of a sudden the defense had about 2 minutes on the sideline to kind of recuperate. You can shoot yourself in the foot at times with the no huddle. When it works, it's great, but I would like to see them do it a little bit more, but you do have to kind of use it sparingly. It is almost like a feel type of game. You got to feel how the game's going, feel where you're at in that point in the game to pull it out. And I think Neil Brown yesterday effectively used it at times, like you said, on that long 78-yard drive where Hudson Clemente had 77 of the yards. But you just got to be careful with it. And I think Neil Brown could do it a little bit more, but he seems to have a good feel for it.
Yeah, I think right now Garrett Green himself is not consistent enough to always put him in situations where if it is three and out, where you might have to make a long throw or try to make something work last second. I don't think that they're really consistent enough as an offense to always trust that they can get things done with that up-tempo playing. So I agree with Tanner, it needs to be used sparingly. But if you find a situation like Hudson Clemente playing well yesterday, whenever you're consistently finding a groove with different players, then I think I can definitely get behind using keeping going without those stoppages, because that's going to make sure that what the defense is not able to stop right now, it's only going to make it harder and harder for them to stop that if you keep playing at the fast tempo that you are. So it makes sense to me why it worked yesterday, but overall, again, just not consistent enough to really want to rely on that as being part of West Virginia's offense, because there have been so many times where one thing goes wrong and it leads to a turnover. And that's the last thing you want is to try to rush anything and lead that to completely wasting a drive entirely. So I agree with Tanner. Use it sparingly, but there are times where it can definitely work. I think if West Virginia can become more consistent, then it can be put more into their playbook, more into what they do and what their identity of their team is.
So I want to talk a little bit about that fourth quarter. You know, just under 11 minutes, the game gets suspended for nearly 2 hours. You know, teams are sitting in the locker room, you know. They're either scheming up or then they have to try to get warm in a short amount of time, 15 minutes. But so West Virginia gives the ball back to Kansas, and Kansas goes, scores a touchdown. They're now down 11 points and it's go time for the Mountaineers. What'd you see from West Virginia in that time point?
Well, they opened up the playbook for the 2 minute drill, and you know, fans are always going to say, well, why don't you do that every drive? Well, then it doesn't work. Like, that's the whole point of the 2 minute drill, is that you run the plays that you've been saving for the 2 minute drill in those kind of situations. So yeah, like, you can't play football running the 2 minute drill the entire time, as great as it is. Like, that's kind of the way that football works. There's a reason that those plays in the 2 minute drill work, because you're saving them for when you absolutely need to get down the field. Those are your best plays. You're gonna save them for when you absolutely need them. If you're calling them all game, they're not gonna work. So obviously, you know, Neil Brown opened up the playbook, said, all right, you know, it's all or nothing time. We've got to get down the field. We've got to score quick. We got to find our chunk play plays. Could you incorporate some more of those kind of sprinkled throughout the game? Yeah, probably. Like, let Garrett Green use his arms some more. Let Garrett Green start running wild. Like, those things are great. He let the playbook loose, let Garrett Green loose, and he executed and made plays. It's the team that we saw the back half of last season that had everybody so excited coming into this season. But you can't – everyone's going to be calling for it. Why don't we just do that all game? Why doesn't Neil Brown just call all these plays, run this type of offense? Well, it won't work if you do it that way. The reason that it worked is because you set it up throughout the game, and then you call your best plays when you absolutely need it. And his players executed, and you got to give them credit. They didn't quit. And, you know, I was kind of saying to myself during the game, it's like, people say you got to learn from your mistakes. And it's almost like that's exactly what West Virginia did from a week ago. They were in the complete opposite situation, up 10 points with 4.5 minutes to go. And they watched Pitt do exactly what West Virginia did this week. So it's almost like they learned from their mistakes as being on the losing end of that, and seeing that that is possible, and seeing what Pitt did to them, to have that faith of, okay, we can go down, we can do this. We've been in this game before, and we've been on the other end of it. So we know it's possible. We know what Kansas is feeling. We know the pressures that they're having on the road, up 10 or up two scores with a couple minutes to go. It's possible. And you could see the belief on the sideline. You could see the belief on the field. Neil Brown trusted his players. He called plays and they went out and executed. And it really just came down to that.
Yeah. And in terms of opening up the playbook, was that rain delay, that situation, was that helping West Virginia in some ways because they had more time to maybe get more comfortable with those plays, get comfortable with things that they knew, hey, we haven't used this so much in this game so far, So now if we try to use these, it's going to be effective as long as we are comfortable playing those things. So did that rain delay help in West Virginia's favor? Maybe, maybe it did. At the end of the day, West Virginia did something that they have not done effectively all year, which was under pressure. They were comfortable. They felt good. They were ready to go. And I think, again, maybe that's part of the rain delay. Maybe that's part of talking during that break. But whatever it was is what they need to keep going to. They need to keep making sure that in terms of mentality, they are going back to that sense of comfort. So if that's coming from those specific plays, if the offense is comfortable with those specific plays, then yes, I say you do run those plays more often throughout the entirety of the game, because you need to feel comfortable. But if it's just a sense of mentality, if there's just an idea that was getting you more comfortable under pressure, then yeah, hold out those plays so that you have things that can work in late game situations like that. But overall, whatever they did to get themselves comfortable under pressure is what they need to do. So if that's the playbook, use those plays. If that's some sort of pep talk or mentality, then do that, do whatever is necessary. But they need to get back to that sense of comfort every single game, because they did not have that against Pittsburgh. They did not have that for the entirety of the game against Penn State. And I think even against Albany at times, whenever they were allowing quick scoring in the concentrated period of time, I think that there were times where West Virginia was crumbling a little bit under pressure. This game, there were turnovers. Garrett Green threw two interceptions, but never did I feel like the Mountaineers were crumbling as a team, or that they were not in a position where they could win the game. Even whenever they were down 11, it seemed like they knew what they needed to do, and they were able to make quick work of that. So that sense of comfortability is what they need to do and get back to that every game.
So now trailing by 11 points, West Virginia goes down the field, Cole Taylor touchdown, and then they go for two to put themselves at a field goal deficit. And just watching that play, like I see Traylon Ray get the ball, I'm like, oh, he's not gonna make it. Like I thought he was taking it himself into the end zone, and then I see Cole Taylor in the back of the end zone. Ray flips it to Taylor. I was like, all right, well, that's something. What'd you guys think about that play? It was honestly one of my favorites of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really big play in the game, and I was up in the booth for that one, and I saw Cole Taylor leak out the entire time. And Neil Brown even said after the game, like, he was wide open the entire time. And I kept thinking to myself, why is he not throwing this football? Like, this is clearly designed for Cole Taylor to catch this football, or else he'd be trying to block. But he is standing alone in the end zone. And Traylon Ray waited to the moment. He had the easiest throw of all time that he could have made for 5 seconds. And he waited until the moment where the defender caught up, and then he had to throw the perfect ball. But he did. He literally threw, you could say, the best ball of anybody that stepped on the field that day. Like, that, there was one spot that football could be, and he put it there high and in the back corner for a 6'7" tight end from LSU to go up and make the catch. Like, it was unbelievable, because I'm sitting there like, why are you not throwing the ball? Like, throw it. And I'm sure Neil Brown was the same thing. Like, Traylon, you got, like, he's right there. But he waited until he had to make the most difficult play that he possibly could. But sure enough, man, he made it. And it was a big play. It was an absolute big play, because that's a momentum play. Because if you don't get that, now you're feeling down on yourself a little bit, where it's like, crap, like, we still need a touchdown now. But you get that, you have 3 points. Defense is fired up. The stadium's back into it. You just had a trick play for all that. It flipped the momentum. It kept the momentum. Defense is able to go out and get a stop now. And now you're in full control, because once you get in the field goal range, you have the power. You have the ability to tie the game, but now you can still go down and take the lead. Your Kansas has to think about calling timeouts. Like, it was the same situation as a week ago with Pitt, when they got down the field only down 3 points. It then put all the pressure on West Virginia, because you knew that they at least had the tie. Now they had the chance to go for the win. So that play is super underrated in how that last couple minutes played out.
Yeah, and that's a fun play, because – if it doesn't go right, then people are looking back at it the same way you were looking at it just before the play happened, is why are you not throwing the football? Why are things not going right? If that play goes wrong, people are angry. People are not happy at all. And I feel like West Virginia had a lot of moments like that so far this season, where it's, if something goes right, then it's looking great. But if it doesn't go right, then, and we don't win the game, then people are going to be super upset as to why that situation even existed. Like, I think back to against Pittsburgh, whenever Ollie Straw ran instead of punting the football, ran for a first down. I mean, that's a cool play in itself, but nobody's looking back at that positively because of what happened almost immediately after. So it's a bait and switch in that way, where it's like, sometimes that's going to be awesome. That's going to be a huge momentum shifter. If you get that play, it's perfect. If you don't, if you're playing a risk game and it doesn't work out, then people are going to be more and more angry. But at the end of the day, those risks come down to comfort. And whether or not Treylon Rabe was more comfortable by waiting for the pressure or not, I don't know, but it worked. It worked out, and it caused all the momentum to shift in West Virginia's favor. So, no, and I was on the sideline for that. That is a fun play to watch. That was really exciting to watch, because from the sideline, there's not as much of a tell of what's going to happen there. It's like, what is this play? And then Taylor gets the ball, and you score there, and it's awesome. It's super fun to watch. But I mean, you gotta be careful with those risks, because again, this is not a consistent enough team to play risky football like that always. But again, you had that sense of comfortability. You were able to come out and play well in those last few minutes. And that's what West Virginia fans love to see.
Yeah, and it turns out they didn't even need that field goal. You know, they force a three and out from Kansas. They get the ball back. They drive it down the field. And then Rodney Gallagher's first career touchdown, a game-winning touchdown. But let's not downplay Tyron Bradley on that last drive. He won the football game for the Mountaineers with that strip sack, recovers his own fumble, and seals the game.
Yeah, I mean, it got nerve-wracking. They found Arnold down the left sideline to put them into Hail Mary range, which I'm sure is the first thought that crossed through a lot of Mountaineer fans after what happened a season ago, that put Daniels in range with his arm to at least be able to take a shot to the end zone. Even if they can't pick up another chunk play, do anything with it, they were in range to take a shot to the end zone if they needed it in the final seconds or even on the fourth and long. And Tyron Bradley, he forced interception, the first interception of the season for West Virginia, something that they've dropped multiple of them. They struggled to get some last season. The defense, the secondary, well, it wasn't even from the secondary. It's kind of ironic that the first interception of the season came from an edge rusher, Tyron Bradley. But I think West Virginia will take it. The fans have been wanting some kind of defensive, like, just get the ball. Just get the ball. They haven't really been able to do it. And Tyron Bradley stepped up in two big moments on Kansas's second drive of the game to stop that drive. And then late in the game, I mean, he was even getting held the entire time as he was coming around that edge. No flag came out, but he fought through it and made the play. And not only did he get the ball out, that's the hardest part about it, but then the most underrated part about it is he had the football awareness to immediately dive back on the ball. A lot of times when defensive ends come around and they swipe at it, they're expecting a defensive lineman, a defensive tackle to kind of dive on it, maybe the quarterback to scoop it. But he swiped and he knew exactly where that ball was and immediately got down on it, picked it up, ran it over, gave it to his dad. His dad joked at the press conference that he wasn't able to keep the ball. He was upset about it. But, you know, it was a cool moment and it was a big play, because at that point it was one of those, like, here we go again moments that West Virginia fans have experienced so many times. And to see the reaction of the fans finally be on, like, a positive side of a final play of a football game, like, it was funny but also wholesome at the same moment, because West Virginia fans have been hurt time and time again. So Tyron Bradley, defensive MVP of the game by far, forcing two turnovers, recovering the fumble himself, and of course the game-winning play as well. He was a beast, and West Virginia needs that. You got TJ Jackson coming out. Josiah Trotter has been phenomenal. Still looking for a guy in the secondary to make that play, but now you have your edge rusher. Now you have two guys that can get to the quarterback. You have two linebackers in Trotter and Carrico, if he's able to come back from an injury, that you feel pretty confident in, both on the outside. So you just need somebody in the secondary to step up. And this defense, they're slowly starting to find some playmakers, but they got to put it all together now.
Yeah, and we've been ignoring the secondary a little bit in this game because, I mean, it wasn't like the secondary really played that amazing in this game either. But at the end of the day, the defense as a whole was a lot better. I in that last play, I really liked how much pressure overall was on Jalen Daniels in that play, and for Tyron Bradley to knock that out and recover that fumble. It was awesome to watch. It was very cool to watch. But yeah, as you said, Tanner, 26 seconds after we got that last score, that's the perfect amount of time for everything to go wrong if you're a West Virginia fan, because it has happened in less time against Houston last season. So, I mean, that's a little bit of a worrisome thing. And then the second that you get that, like, 33, 35-yard catch on that second play of that drive from Kansas, because I mean West Virginia was able to stop them on first down. Then the second down, you get that 33-yard catch. It's like, oh man, this is scary. This is a scary situation. So for something to go so right in that situation is awesome, because it's not even like West Virginia just made some stops, held on for dear life. Because even then, if you're holding on like that and then we win the game, West Virginia fans are still kind of running down, recovering from all of that stress of like, whoa, we barely held on to that. And that's maybe even feeling a little bit different in terms of confidence. Maybe you're coming into the locker room thinking, hey, guys, we barely held on to that. But if you have a play like that, where it takes all of the momentum that Kansas maybe had on that after that 133-yard throw, take all of the momentum away, shift it all to West Virginia, everyone's so pumped, because all of that stress was just released immediately the second that fumble was recovered. So I think there's no better way to win a game than like that. So yeah, absolutely, Ryan. I'm not arguing with you in any way that Tyron Bradley won that game for West Virginia. There were things leading up to it. There were some great offensive plays, but no, that's the saving grace of the game, is winning a football game in the exact way that West Virginia always loses football games, is by coming up in the last seconds there.
Yeah. I mean, I was on the sideline for that play, and like after the big catch, it's just like, everybody's like nail biting, like the fans that stayed, which is a lot, by the way. Like, I was really surprised by all the fans that stayed through that delay. It's like nail biting. And then Tyron Bradley strip sack. Corey, as a Broncos fan, it reminded me of Von Miller in Super Bowl 50, but Von didn't jump on the ball, neither did Cam Newton. But I mean, yeah, it went from nail biting to like just like a burst of excitement. Like, it was just like a great sense of relief. And then obviously victory formation for West Virginia following that. And now I just want to look a little bit forward for the Mountaineers. You got a bye week coming up, which can do wonders. You know, a lot of players, especially on the defensive side of the football, were banged up. Obviously, we talked about Aubrey Burks a little bit, but guys like TJ Crandell went down, Sean Martin, Garnett Hollis, who came back. It's just, what do you think the bye week can do for the Mountaineers overall?
Yeah, I think it's a time to regroup. You know, your season almost came off the rails, and it was an incredibly emotional week for West Virginia. From the time you lost that game against Pitt and had that collapse, and now you had to fight all the criticism and everything all week, and it was probably a very tough week of practice. How was the team going to respond? Are they going to stay together? Are they going to fall apart? Everything was up in the air. To then another super emotional win, just to get back to 500 now. You're back to 2-2. You're 1-0 in conference play. I don't think it could come at a better time. And like, you could talk about the injuries, and yes, like that's the obvious part of the bye that's going to be super helpful for West Virginia, is they get an extra week now. They were super banged up, so they can get healthy heading in, down to Stillwater. But I think the underrated part of it is that you just had such an emotional stretch of your season that you thought you might be off the rails. Your head coach might be fired. Your defensive coordinator might get let go. Everything's up in question. Is this team going to only win one game? Are they going to be able to even win another one the rest of the season? And now you're down 11 points with 5 minutes to go. You have that emotional comeback. So it lets the team regroup and resettle and kind of settle those emotions and get back to just being a steady team. You have now 2 weeks to prepare for an opponent. You can regroup, slow things down, and the emotions kind of come back to balance. You're not playing on such a high or low feeling like they have been the last 2 weeks. So like, that to me is the biggest part of this bye week. Obviously the injuries, like everybody's going to talk about that. The bye week helps everybody with getting the teams that have been banged up. Has West Virginia been more banged up than some other teams? Yes. Like, that was very apparent yesterday. That was a wild 2 minutes in that game where everyone just seemed to be getting really hurt, and it was the star players that were getting really hurt for West Virginia. So like, yeah, that's going to help. But to me, the underrated part is they now get to regroup and they can bring their emotions back down, because football is such an emotional game, and you have to ride the highs and lows when they happen, but you also have to be able to resettle yourself and go into a game not too high, not too low. So they'll have plenty of time now to do that.
Yeah, and I said that rain delay yesterday may have been able to give them time to be comfortable, be steady coming out of it. A rain delay compared to a full bye week, so much better. That is 100% going to give you comfort. And unlike the rain delay and then coming out having to play football and then getting banged up and getting injured because you're kind of in a weird physical part of your body whenever you're coming out of that rain delay. Way with the bye week. So yeah, the bye week is going to be a really nice thing. The other thing that you have to consider is that the opponent that West Virginia has coming out of the bye week is Oklahoma State, who has a brutal start to their conference schedule because they just played Utah, they lost, and then now they're going to play Kansas State, who also needs a conference win. Both of them are going to need a conference win. If Oklahoma State happens to be on the losing side of that, that doesn't mean that Oklahoma State is a bad team at all, because, I mean, those are both good teams that going into the season, you're thinking, hey, maybe Oklahoma State can win, maybe can lose. So that's not at all going to be the concern. But, I mean, that's that having back-to-back losses like that could be something that West Virginia – coming in at a comfortable 2-2, they're going to be an even record and they'll be playing at an even mentality. That could be something they could totally capitalize on. So I really like the Oklahoma State as their opponent coming out of that bye week, because they're going to be in a situation that we're in now where there's a lot of emotions high, you said, Tanner. I think Oklahoma State is going to have high emotions coming out of these 2 weeks, even if they manage to win against Kansas State. Because I mean, you just played the two of the best teams in the entire conference to start your conference slate. So West Virginia catching them after that will be really nice. So I think this is a perfect time to get a bye week, relax, recover from injuries, and then come in against an opponent that has all the weapons available to take you down if you're West Virginia, but they're going to be put at an even level because of West Virginia's mentality, their health, and everything like that coming out of the bye week.
Yeah, and you talked about Oklahoma State coming out of the bye week, and then just following that, it's just like a Big 12 gauntlet. You know, they got a bunch of tough opponents coming up. It's just how can they win? You know, they beat obviously they beat Kansas yesterday, but how can they continue to win? How can they be sustainable in their game plan? I mean, it's gonna be a true task. I don't know if like the last two games West Virginia played came down the wire. I don't know if their fans' hearts can take it anymore. Like obviously, as like a general football fan, you love it. You love a close game, but I believe that West Virginia fans want a solidified win. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, like it's Neil Brown said, like things balance out, because it's easy to say, like, imagine if West Virginia held on against Pitt, like the season would feel completely different. And that's true. Like they'd be 3-1. They'd be their only loss would be to Penn State, a top 10 team in the country. And you'd be 1-0 in conference play heading into a bye week. So you'd be feeling really good about yourself. But if you're going to say, imagine if West Virginia held on against Pitt, you could say the same thing of like, okay, well, even if they held on against Pitt, then what if they didn't come back against Kansas? You're still 2-2 and now 0-1 in conference play. And things still kind of feel the same. So like it balanced out. They won a game that they shouldn't have won this week, and they lost the game that they absolutely should have won the week before. So you could say, yeah, if they beat Pitt, this team feels completely different right now. And that is true. But I think that's the whole beauty of the bye week now, is that you can settle that down, because there's so many what ifs. So you get a nice reset to do that. And Oklahoma State's going to be a tough opponent. But that's the beauty of college football, is that you can go on the road here, beat one of the teams that a lot of people picked to win the conference, and despite everything from 2 weeks ago, you heard your head coach might be fired. You heard your defense is atrocious. You can't defend anybody. You're only going to win one game. You're only going to win two games. You barely beat Kansas. It took a miracle to come back. You go down to Stillwater and you beat the Cowboys of Oklahoma State and improved to 2-0 in the season. People are going to start believing again. And they have 2 whole weeks to prepare for that team. Oklahoma State did not look great against Utah. I know Utah is a good team, but they did not look great against Utah. They had their flaws. They looked beatable. Ollie Gordon didn't look like himself. This is the opportunity. It's not even, it could be. This is the opportunity for West Virginia. You can go down and beat a Cowboys team in Stillwater on the road before coming back for another Big 12 conference game. You got your whole season in front of you. And I know people hate that Neil Brown said that the whole Big 12 conference, you know, our whole season's in front of us, yada, yada. Nobody wanted to hear that after a 1-2 start, but it's true. And now you got one win, whether you deserve to win it or not. You get a week to prepare, a whole nother week then of game week. And if you can go down and you can beat Oklahoma State, the full belief, all the hype of the offseason, Pat McAfee having a whole 3-hour pep rally on Kansas, that feeling, is going to slowly start creeping back into Morgantown. And that's the best part of college football, because the opportunity is right there. Whether they deserve it or not for beating Kansas, college football works out that way. And you lose a game that you should have won. Now you just won a game you should have lost. So you're back to 2-2. The opportunity is right there.
Yeah, and Ryan, you were saying, you were talking about getting comfortable leads, winning by a comfortable amount. In these next four games, I mean, you got Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Kansas State, and Arizona. If things keep going wrong for Kansas State, maybe you can get a comfortable win out of that. But all of those four games, to me, those are designed to be close games. The reason why it's worrying is that the four games beforehand, or at least these last three after Penn State, were games that you should have had more of a comfortable lead and we didn't. So the fact that West Virginia is already in a situation where they need to be playing very tight football, and now they're going to enter 4 weeks where they also are bound to have to play tight football, that becomes worrisome. But as far as a fan base goes, as far as the team goes, I don't think they should be worried at all if they barely beat Oklahoma State. In fact, they should be pumped if they beat Oklahoma State in any way. If they barely beat Iowa State, led by Rocco Beck, who is ranked number 20 right now, coming out of week three, I mean, that's a good win, whether you win it by a lot or you win it by a little. Same with Kansas State, same with Arizona. So though it may be more comfortable for fans, it may be more stress-free to have that Cincinnati, Baylor, UCF run that we have late in the season, to have that now, I think it's okay if we win by a little bit if you're West Virginia. So I think West Virginia needs to get at least two of these games of these next four, and then they can have their little bit of a relax of feeling like, hey, we are a better team than Cincinnati. We are a better team than Baylor. And if West Virginia is saying, hey, we are better, then that's where those comfortable wins come in. Even if it's only by a touchdown or two, that's where you feel like, hey, this was not down to the wire, because West Virginia is a better team than these other teams. But the only way you can get there is if you beat Oklahoma State, which I think is of these next four. I think if you can beat Oklahoma State, I think that's simultaneously the biggest one and also potentially the most attainable right now because of what Oklahoma State will be coming out of compared to what West Virginia will be coming out of in that bye week. And then from there, you can go to Iowa State and probably get a more comfortable win, Kansas State, more comfortable win, Arizona. Every game by game will become easier and easier. But it all starts with that win against Oklahoma State, which I think West Virginia ultimately for the first time this season is in a perfect situation to get that. So I think that there's no worries as far as that goes. They just need to become more versatile in their playbook, more versatile in the options that Garrett Green is using, and become more comfortable in all sorts of situations. And then defensively, they need to play better as well. But I mean, Oklahoma State, like Tanner said, Ollie Gordon did not look like anyone against Utah. Utah had their own running back who went for 185 yards compared to Ollie Gordon. So, I mean, you can't rely on that if you're West Virginia. That's definitely not going to happen again. But if there's any team that you can kind of win offensively instead of like really having an amazing defensive situation, I think this might be the one coming out of these weeks. So we'll see how things go for West Virginia. But I like their situation after this bye week, getting a little bit more comfort and then having the schedule that they have.
Only time will tell. Thanks for joining us today. For Tanner Mounts, Corey Moore, I'm Ryan Roddy. Have a good one.